and welcome to our program. We have something a little different today that I hope will be a little strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Stay tuned. Some years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of meeting Mina Oglesby and her husband Eddie, and they have been friends of ours ever since. You often hear Mina singing on this radio program, and today we're going to play a testimony of was recorded that she was singing in some church in the United States, and here is her testimony. Listen carefully. I think it'll be a blessing to you.
Well, Eddie and I were living with our three small children outside of Oklahoma City, Yukon, Oklahoma, in the early 70s. And I had never met a Baptist. I had been in a church that believed in rub-a-dub-dub, there's power in the tub. And so I had never met a Baptist, had never met anybody that had claimed to be a Baptist. And now that I've been one for a while, I think I know what they mean. But we were living there, and our lives were so empty. We had both lived very wicked lives. I was not raised in a Christian home, although my parents loved me very much. And they did what all they knew to do for me, they did. But we didn't have a Christian home, and God was one of the things that we never discussed in our home. So consequently, when my father died when I was barely 16 years old, the light really went out of my life. And at that point, I began to search for the emotional satisfaction that my father had provided for me, the security. And I never found it. I looked in every place I could find, every kind of sin that I could find. I wanted to fill the void that he had left and that I was to realize later that God had put there. But nothing filled it. There was always an emptiness, a need. And it seemed like the more I chased after the things of the world, the greater the need, the more obvious it became. Eddie and I both had good jobs. Our children were healthy. We lived in a nice home. But we had nothing because we didn't have Jesus Christ. And because of our past and because of the sins that I had accumulated in almost 30 years at that time, I really believed that some of the things that I had done were so bad that God, whoever he was, could never or would never forgive me. I really believed that. And so I decided on my own that there was nothing left for me but to live out what life I had left and die and go to hell or whatever happened to people. It was a tragic life. We were going through all the motions of many, many people that you see every day. Some of your neighbors are living that kind of life. And we had nothing. Then one day, someone knocked on our front door, and I went to the door. And it was a lady, and she said to me, "Hi, I'm Lou Holland. I'm from the Canadian Heights Baptist Church down the road. And, well, we're starting a new bus route through your subdivision, and we were wondering if you might let your kids go to Sunday school in the morning on a church bus." And I said, no, thank you. If my kids go to church, I'll take them. Thanks anyway. And I shut the door. I mean, why should I let my children go to church? Because I knew that I was so proud, I didn't want them to go without me, but I knew if I went, maybe I'd have to tell all the terrible things that I had done. See, I didn't know what they did there. And it might shame my children. Or worse yet, they might kick us out. I mean, I had done some things. So this lady left, and she didn't come back till the next Saturday. She was knocking again. And I went to the door again, and I honestly believe she had a tape recorder somewhere on her, because she gave me the whole spill all over. Hi! We're wondering if you'd let the kids go in the morning. And of course, she could tell by my face that I was not about to let the kids go in the morning. But she kept on, and she was so sweet and kind. And I said, no, I thought I told you last week, you know, we're just not interested. Thank you. Bang, went the door. Well, this time, she didn't come back. Till the next Saturday, she was back again, knocking again at the door. Faithfully, faithfully, week after week after week, Lou Holland came to our home. And sometimes she'd get my husband, and my husband was the softy. And I tried not to ever let him answer the door because I was afraid he would say, yes, they could go. So I always tried to answer it. And it got to where, you know, this began to wear on me. The Holy Spirit was dealing in my life even then. And it began to wear on me. I would say, look, let's leave. Let's leave Friday night after work, and we won't come back, see, till late Sunday night. And she'll just forget about us, and she won't come. But do you know what she did? We would leave, and she would bring little packets of suckers and put them on the front door, and she'd record her spiel this time. Hi, kids. Hope you can come to Sunday school in the morning. And so, of course, the kids always got to the door first, and so they got the suckers, and they always wanted to go. So now I was getting pressure from the kids and pressure from Lou Holland, week after week after week. So one Saturday morning, several months after she'd been coming to our home, my husband went to the door, and I was behind the door because I knew who it was. See, at 9:30 on Saturday morning, I knew who was coming to the house. So I was behind the door. Now, that's when I could still get behind the door. And he answered the door, and she asked him if the kids could go, and he kind of looked around, you know, on the sly, like, could they go? No. So she was turned away again. But week after week, she kept coming, faithfully coming. She never missed a week. And then, of course, she finally wore us down. My husband finally said, honey, if we just let him go one time, maybe it'll get her off our back. And I said, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. But you see, that was the very worst thing that we could possibly have done. That was just like waving a red flag at a bull for us to let those kids go. And she took heart after we let them go and finally got us in church. Well, with my background, the pastor told me, the pastor did not realize, I think he thought I was saved. He didn't tell me the plan of salvation. He just told me I'd have to be baptized again. The Sunday morning after we had gone to church, Eddie and I were baptized again. Well, we were dunked. We weren't baptized because we were still both lost. And then about 6 weeks after that, we moved to Louisiana. He was transferred to Louisiana. We moved there. And first thing we did, we got in a Baptist church. And boy, we thought all Baptist churches were the same. And we got in a rip-roaring one and started to work. We started the bus ministry in this church. We started junior church. I mean, we wanted to pick these little kids up on the buses. And we thought we were saved. But about 9 months after we, maybe it was a year, after we moved down there and got involved, I began to realize something was wrong with me. I didn't have what the other people had. In fact, when I would try to tell people how to get this feeling I had, I didn't know what to tell them. And it suddenly occurred to me, I didn't know what to tell him because I'd never really done anything. I'd never trusted the Lord, and I really didn't even understand about being saved at that time. Well, one Sunday evening, we had a revival start in our church, and an independent Baptist preacher from Picayune, Mississippi, came to our little church there in Pearl River, and he began his series of meetings. The very first night he preached, he gave the plan of salvation, and I saw for the very first time the one who had come to earth and lived a perfect life for me personally, the one who had died in agony on a cross of shame for me personally. The one who had arisen from the dead for me personally. And that night in April of 1975, I was born again. I trusted him as my Savior, and he began to transform my life. Through his word, I had such a terrible mind. And he began to transform me and renew my mind through his word. How could I praise him enough for saving me? I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think of all the empty years, 30 years before I heard that he died for me, and how he came willingly, without any pressure. He didn't have to, but for our sakes, he became poor that we might be made rich.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me, Lord, in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. The promised land.